Thank you for listening to this podcast from KX93.5. We invite you to listen to more music and talk on our grassroots nonprofit radio station in Laguna Beach from anywhere in the world on KX93.5.com/listen or on our smartphone apps. Right now, here's the Importance of Being podcast on KX93.5.
Activities. Anyway, this is KX93.5. You're listening to the Importance of Being show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do this show live every Sunday morning from 9 to 10. And today we have an amazing show with, let's just say, the music from the 80s. This is KX93.5. You're listening to the Importance of Being show. We'll be right back to get the show started after this.
I can feel. tears I cry aren't tears of pain. They're only to hide my guilt and shame. I forgive you, now I ask the same of you. While we were apart, I was human too.
Alrighty, this is KX93.5. You're listening to the Importance of Being show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do the show live every Sunday morning from 9 to 10. And you may have noticed that we have the 80s music out this morning. And I am so happy. I've been looking forward to this for so long. I have Randy Lavick.
Hey, what's up?
Wait.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I was on.
Hey. Wait, are you on the right mic?
I don't know. Probably not.
Maybe not.
I'm technologically inept, everyone.
Oh, there you go. And maybe if you push the buttons.
Hey, Ernest, how are you?
That's much better.
Since the KXmas party, we've been talking about this, right? We bonded at the Christmas party.
That's right.
True.
That's right.
Nice to see you. Thank you.
And Terry D.
Hey, how are you?
Radio royalty, apparently.
Oh, yeah. No lie.
So we broke out the 80s music. And so we're going to be talking about a particular station that kind of kicked off the alternative, the new wave, I guess is what it was.
What a moment in time.
Oh right.
The right place,
right?
The right it music at the right time.
The
yeah.
rock of the 80s, apparently.
Yeah. We were there. Lived to tell the tale.
So both of you were there at that time. And
yes.
And because I was like, you know, driving places at that point. And it was like when it came, it was like, oh, my God, there's music, you know, because there was the classic rock thing.
Right.
And you know, but it just had gotten kind of stale, right? It wasn't really creative. There was just kind of like formulaic stuff. And then they were coming out with the spandex and the hair.
The hair metal. We talked about this off the air.
Don't forget all the fluorescent colored clothing.
Yes.
You know
yes.
what it was? I think just like the
Just because you can do something.
Exactly.
Just like the Breakfast
Club
over
the top.
Movie, the kids' musical taste was very segmented. You either listen to this station, that station, or that station, or that station. There was no intermingling.
Right.
Like now
tribal.
In music, all the music is
yes.
messed together now. But that
a
was
cult.
Our tribe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the new wavies. I was a little new wave snob. Like for real. Yeah.
I was like, you know, I was always the person that could just blend into whatever.
Okay, so you're the chameleon musically.
Yes.
You like listen to your parents' music and listen to your...
That's how it started.
Oh, poor thing.
Well, I had to listen to whatever
before
was
there
available.
Were separate...
I had to listen to whatever was available.
Right, before,
but, you know.
Before headphones.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was
separate,
like all...
Separate
yeah.
music.
Beatles, Monkees, and then right to New Wave. That was my trajectory.
Pocket radio.
Yeah.
There you go. Yes.
AM, my first little AM radio. You betcha. Loved the disco, too.
All right. So
yeah,
Terry,
too.
What did you do in the radio? How did you get involved in the business? What drew you to it?
It was listening to my parents' music, honestly.
Okay.
Music was always something that I enjoyed. I want to say that I feel like I was just born into music because
okay.
my grandfather
oh,
was
yeah.
a musician.
Tell everyone what your grandfather
he was a traveling
did. This is really
musician.
Cool, you guys. Yeah.
Yeah. He, back before television, people just listened to radio.
Sure.
They would, you know, literally sit around these big, big
radio consoles.
They were beautiful,
yes, like a furniture item.
Right, as a family, and that's what they would just enjoy these shows.
The serials
and all
that,
music or storytelling or what have you.
Right.
So my grandfather was a musician, and he was in a traveling band with NBC Radio.
Oh,
and they would travel around the country.
What a cool
playing,
Didn't he play music. Very famously the drums in a certain something?
He sure did. That was when he finally settled in Los Angeles. Then he became a musician for the big film companies. The big two. I mean, can I say them?
Yeah, sure.
For Disney and Warner Brothers.
Okay.
So he did a lot for the, you know, your old...
like theme songs and things,
classic,
right?
Classic Disney shows. Like, well, the big one for him was Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Yeah.
There you go.
So he played
That's a claim to fame.
These little percussional sounds and stuff. Like, you know, you know, like that was him doing. If you ever listen to the music
for
Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, all of that stuff was him.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, he played xylophone.
Didn't he play the Dragnet theme or something? Did you tell me something like that? Something
possibly.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's done so much.
I love that kind of history.
I don't even remember.
And that's where he met your grandma, a cute little secretary.
Well, no, my grandma was fascinated with him. So she kind of followed him around.
Musicians, right?
There's a big age difference between the two of them.
Okay, all right. But she's, you know, some people just
showbiz.
Can't shake them off.
Right? Yeah, I know. So fast forward, you know, blah, blah, blah. My dad's born, I'm born. Blah,
And in the third grade.
Yeah, so I got into music, like
big
hardcore.
Time.
Yeah, okay. And I used to play little radio shows in my bedroom.
Really?
Yes.
So you were already, you know, DJing.
Yes. I did the same thing.
In my bedroom.
Yeah,
and,
I did the same thing.
Yeah, my one listener and co-host.
My brother was my listener.
Was my younger brother.
Okay.
So shout out to him.
Hey. We both did. That's amazing. We never talked about that. Yeah.
And then fast forward to our internship. That's how I really got started.
So where was that?
That was at K-Rock.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Just like that. Bam.
And that's how we met. Yes.
Really?
And the rest
crazy.
Is history.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And so, well, what was it like at that point?
and
how did it start for you? I mean, how did you get connected to them?
Well, honestly, you know, I didn't even know about internships. That was something that was brought to me, and I'm so thankful that it was, because had it not, I don't know if I'd be where I'm at right now.
Okay.
Honestly.
So now that's a shout out to workforce
training.
Absolutely.
For anyone who is wanting to get into this business.
It's the only way.
I'm telling you, internships are the best. But you have to be able to get school credit.
I never did.
For it now. And I'm only saying that because things come around full circle in this business. And little did I know back then, I've been overseeing our internship program for the past 20 years.
And our is... a community college. You can name it. You can name names.
Is Morello Media.
Oh.
Which owns 4 radio stations and a television station. So we're in Burbank.
We can say the names, right? It's
okay.
Yeah. KLOS, right?
95.5 KLOS. Power 106. Woo-woo.
Woo-woo.
93.5 K-Day, which
the other
you guys.
93.5.
Yes, I know. Sorry. It's
well, but we're moving, so this is we won't be in contention anymore.
Yeah, that's cool. We won't be your competition, Terry.
And when you're in the canyon, sometimes you get a really unique mashup.
You get the 90s hip-hop and then our station.
Yeah,
it was brilliant.
Influential hip-hop back in the day.
And what's your other station? Tell them.
And then the other one is 93.9 Cali. Kelly 93.9, which is a brand new station. Hasn't even been around for a year. It's reggaeton.
Oh,
so
gosh.
And we're playing all the hot hits,
I'm telling you,
in the clubs.
You know, it's funny
it
that people
fun.
Have that. They get that accent, so I guess I haven't listened to it enough.
Oh. We'll go to the club, okay? We'll get our groove on.
You take her in a
Let's
spot.
Do it. I'm like ready. I love it. I love
take
that station.
The training wheels off.
Oh,
yes.
It's a whole new world.
Break
yeah.
the seal.
It's a whole vibe.
So what did you start doing? So let's get Randy. So what got you to this internship?
I had brothers. So one brother taught me the Beatles, one taught me the Who, and one taught me the Doors. So I was also very musical. I put a record player in my room And I had the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack that I would disco dance to and play, make a music show in my room. And I was a game show kid.
So, oh, okay.
That's a natural. All my heroes were DJs and game show hosts. Dr. Demento was a huge influence on me, no lie.
All right.
I learned everything from him and Mad Magazine. It explains a lot about me, for real. Because I had brothers, you know. And my parents were super cool like that. They'd take us out on weekends and we'd go out. There were five kids, and they'd turn on the radio to get us to shut up, probably, and quit fighting.
Right.
And they would play Dr. Demento. And it was filthy, Cheech and Chong and all.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't understand the references, but we would giggle anyway. Right. So I was listening to K-Rock one day, and I heard probably the poor man or someone like that say, hey, my intern so-and-so. And I had just started junior college, and I didn't know what the heck I was going to do. You know, I always loved show business. I read 100 Beatle books. I was a funny kid. I collected Mad Magazines, and Monkees were my, the second wave. I helped plan the Monkees convention. I was just a funny kid, a very musical kid.
And I wanted to
do was play the Beatles on piano when I took piano lessons. I didn't want to play classical. And I'd sit and pick out Beatles songs just naturally. So I was musical too. And I went down to K-Rock. I was the shyest kid in the world. I couldn't look at you. I couldn't talk to anyone. I got so brave. I went down there, filled out a one-page application that Scott Mason, rest in peace, he said, I kept all of your applications. They're still in my drawer when I met him a few years ago.
Right.
I was like, wow. And he's like, yeah, I have Carson Daly's application in there and Jimmy Kimmel and all these other people got very famous out of K-Rock, which is nuts. And my application. So one page application. I walked into the lobby. The poor man was there. He looked me up and down like, oh, here's a fresh one. Here's a live one coming. Hi, honey. And Bobcat Goldthwait walked through and looked at me like I was a piece of steak. And I was a little girl, and I was so shy, afraid of everyone, afraid of everything. Ended up at K-Rock, and I ended up staying for 3 years. Never got any college credit. But when I worked in all, I was so curious. It wasn't my dream to be on the air whatsoever. I like being around it. I like the business.
Right.
And what people don't know about a major, even a major market radio station, even at that time, it was the height of K-Rock. Yeah. They had just gotten bought by a big corporation. There was a sales side and there was a music side, and maybe 30 people ran that place. It was a very small crew.
Right, right.
And intimate. So very intimate, tiny, teeny tiny offices. All the salespeople had these little cubicles and they were cramped into one room. Mm-hmm. Anyone who had their office, it was about as big as, nothing. Just a desk could fit and a chair, and that was it. So it was a very small space. So I got to work in all the different departments. So I learned how a major market station worked, and I just loved being there. I was like, the feeling, and I get when I come here too, I'm on shows here. What's gonna happen today? I love the immediacy of radio. I dabbled in, I was an extra in movies and TV and tried all these show busy things. I've been on two game shows, blah, 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 booey, from just living in this town, right? But radio is great because you go in, you do your show, and then you get to leave. In production, you gotta sit around for 14, 16, 18 hours. And my dad my dad came from the food service world, and he did catering trucks at Paramount.
Oh,
and I'd go there and see what goes on there. And he would feed people in Star Trek outfits and all that. he had beautiful stories like, oh, so-and-so. Oh, wow, you should see it. She has so much spackle on her face, you can't see who she is. And my dad's very tells it like it is. So between the two of us, we have amazing stories. But it was the right place at the right time with a very ragtag crew. We saw a lot of crazy things and whatnot. Yeah.
All right. So we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, we're going to have more about the rock of the 80s from Randy Lavick.
Lavick. Whatever.
And Terry D. and then there's me. So this is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. We'll be right back.
Oh, wow. We'll be right back.
All right. This is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do this show live every Sunday morning from 9 to 10. And today I am, well, we're having a gay old time with Randy Lavick and Terry D. And we're talking about the good old days, the rock of the, at the rock of the
good
80s.
Good gravy, sir.
K-Rock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I'm Revolutionary really, Station, absolutely.
If you could only see me, I'm bowing saying I'm not worthy.
We're telling him all the sketchy stories off the air and he's literally blushing now.
Right?
Yeah.
And if you could only see that.
I spent 3 years researching a book that I will never write because I know too much and some things are better left unsaid and that's the truth.
Definitely. Yeah.
Well, so you guys broke in as kind of interns or that's how you got your foot in the door. What did you do for the station?
For
K-Rock?
What did you do, Terry?
Goodness, I did a lot. I mean, I started, you know, there were so many of us interns. That was the thing. I think there were like about 40 of
you
us.
You had to kind of make friends with the right people shows you wanted to get into.
So with that many, my goal was to make sure that I was known.
Okay.
At the station. I wasn't going to be just one of 40 and blend in.
A face in the crowd.
Right. Because, I mean, my goal was to work in radio.
And it was a boys club. I'm just going to come out and say it. As a girl, you had to really...
So you had to be really, really creative and make sure that you...
Show up.
Did what you had to do. So, I mean, we all had a job as an intern, and that was basically just to answer listener lines.
Okay.
But my goal was to go beyond that.
Okay.
Okay, right. So I had to get very creative fast. I interned with pretty much every DJ at the time. But I like to say that the iconic time for me was when I was interning with Jed the Fish.
Oh.
He was a very, very private person.
Mm.
So, and that kind of intrigued me because I like to get inside people's heads. I'm just weird like this, okay?
We got to know everything about everyone.
I need to know what makes people tick.
Stay away from my mom. She knows. She'll learn stuff.
And all of the interns, you know, were like scared of him because, you know, he kept, you know, you couldn't see in when he was on the radio.
He was intense fella. I mean, he was.
Very intense.
Yeah. Huh.
And he was very mean to all the interns.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he was nice and that's to me. Why. Because he could tell he was afraid of him.
But see, that's my whole point.
Oh, okay.
That's my whole point. So it was the fact that if you put in the time to get to know him and ask the right questions and all that fun stuff.
Right,
that's what I did. I turned it into kind of like a school project.
An investigation.
Yes. So I, after a show, said, Jed, I would just like 5 minutes of your time to interview you. This is what I want to do. I want to get into radio and I just need to ask some very important questions that you know, are going to help me.
Right. Yeah.
And at the same time, you can ask me questions.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's like, "Okay, that's fair."
Yeah.
So we did that and I asked him the questions, he answered them. Thankfully, he turned around, asked me questions.
Okay. And so you had
And I think
something.
He it kind of was that
you
that
tell
breaking
that you took
point.
It very seriously. Yeah, you weren't there just to party or
correct.
Whatever. Yeah.
Correct. So he's like, "I like you. I want you to intern for me." And I'm like, "Okay. You got it." So, you know, that was really, really pivotal. As far as I'm concerned,
the DJs were a big deal to us kids. As important as the music, they were local celebrities.
Like, right.
They were.
So
that led on.
And they were, you know, the cool kids.
Yeah, correct. For sure.
So because of that, he then started referring to, you know, other DJs. He would say, "Yeah, I got this great intern. They all wanted me to intern for them too." And that led to other things. And then down the hallways into the like promotions department, you know, I made myself known. There, hey, if you guys need any assistance, I want to learn. I want to learn about this department. I want to learn about that department. I want to know everything in radio.
The curiosity was huge.
And that is what helped me basically rise from this pool of interns.
To
separate the fact yourself. Where everyone knew, oh, yeah, that's Terry.
Because it was so informal, you could make your way around there. There were no rules yet.
Right.
It had just gotten bought by a big corporation, and it was just starting to go that way, I would say. So there was a lot of opportunity if you were interested to learn.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, Randy, what were you working on?
I started at answering request lines on as much as I could get over there. I was in junior college. I told the story that I'd hear Richard Blade go, Lenny Kravitz and Depeche Mode are on their way in. And I'd turn my car around, and I wouldn't go to Cerritos College. I'd drive to Burbank, you know, because I could. And you would, too. And yeah. I was sorry later, and I went back to school, and I was 29 and never stopped, and I got 5 degrees. But I back then, that was my schooling, and I was just so curious and wanted to be just...
Well, and passionate, like I said, apparently.
Oh, my gosh. It was so exciting and such... You were part of everything because it was a small space. So I was we met everybody, you know. So I worked on all the different shows, answering the phones, and I wasn't technical at all, and I'm still not. But I was interested in the process, the creative, you know, how do you interview someone? But I never dreamed I would ever do it. I was just really had to know everything.
Just had this real strong kind of kid. Passion and curiosity.
And then I could type, and I was good on computers weren't. I worked on typewriters over there. I made a newsletter, an internal newsletter with my friends.
Oh yeah.
And we walk around and interview people and gossip and what concerts are coming up. And that's very me. I had I took journalism classes at Cerritos College, and that's what I thought it was. I was always a writer.
Yep.
And then when they needed a temp in the office, instead of paying a temp agency $10 an hour, they could pay me literally. I made $3.35 an hour, and I was the sales assistant when Jillian went on vacation. Yep. We just saw. And I was a temp receptionist, and I worked as a music assistant. And so I worked my way around there, just like Terry did. I was curious about all the different departments. But I actually got a paycheck.
She got a paycheck.
The first one I got, I think it was framed for a while because nobody got paid around there.
Right.
The DJs,
barely.
Yeah,
but it was
just the people that really worked there.
But it was literally, we'd go down and security and go get the Red Hot Chili Peppers. It was like that every time I came in there. Yeah. We met all the new wave artists of the day came through there. Yep. I'll tell you my best one. So I was sitting at the sales desk, and Tom Jones walked up to my desk because the Kiss song came out when he remade Kiss by Prince, and that was a K-Rock hit. He came in for the morning show, and I was afraid, and I looked up, and there was this man there, and that was a man. All I remember are big shoulder pads,
big
and he
man.
Smelled good and a beautiful head of hair. He said, "Good morning, darling." And I was like, "Hi," and I just waved, and he just kept going. But Margie in sales, who was an older lady, I thought she was going to faint because she didn't care about any of our K-Rock artists. But when Tom Jones came over.
He probably had a collection of her
she
lingerie.
She was like, "Ooh," you know? Yeah, exactly. And he signed her autograph, and she was like, "Oh, I never saw the woman smile ever." So those kind of encounters were just nuts. And we have a lot of stories like about people that rolled in there. Some were terrible to me, some were great, and I was afraid of everyone.
I'll share my favorite story.
Right, go for it.
And it was when I was interning with Jed. He interviewed Dave Gahan, who's the lead singer of Depeche Mode.
Oh, okay.
So
we all showed up that day, randomly.
Yeah. Well, that's very true. Yeah. Every intern was there.
Yeah, it's funny.
Regardless of
we're
of
all
them
in a picture with him somewhere. Yeah.
Right. Like,
and it was a huge deal.
They were a huge deal.
It was
you
massive
have to know.
Because the station had to have the Burbank police.
Oh, yeah.
Patrolling kids heard about
around
these
right,
sometimes.
Otherwise,
because people were coming
storm
out.
The gates.
Yeah. We knew that Dave Gahan was going to be there, and they were all going to try and sneak in.
The height of their fame, and the Depeche's are very, take it
they're
very seriously.
They're extremely,
intense. Yeah.
Way intense.
That's no joke.
So in any event, during the show, I was, you know, answering request lines, and Jed popped his head out and said, "Terry, I need you to go down to my car because I have an album. I have an album in the back seat of my car that I forgot to bring up." And I'm like, "Oh, okay, yeah, sure." So he gives me the keys and I go downstairs. I wasn't even thinking about, you know, am I going to have a problem getting back upstairs?
Oh,
well,
sure.
Yeah, I did because there's police there and I'm just an intern. So they're like, "Hold on, where do you think you're going? Because here I am holding an album cover for Depeche Mode."
Oh, no.
Right?
Yeah.
So
I work at K-Rock. Yeah, sure, kid.
So I'm like, "Well, I'm an intern. Do you have an ID?" "No, I'm an intern. We just, I don't work there. I intern there." "Well, do you have a business card?" "No, again, I'm an intern." They don't give us anything.
Are you kidding? I never saw a business card.
So they're like, "Well, I can't let you upstairs." I said, "You don't understand. I need to get upstairs because Jed, who is interviewing this guy, told me to come downstairs and get this, call the station. They can vouch for me. You know, here's the number. That's what they did. They called the station. Finally, they let me up. I'm like, oh, my God. You know, so I'm going in towards the on-air studio. Of course, there's the 10 million other interns that aren't scheduled to be there.
Yeah, hi.
And they're like, you can't go in there. Yeah, right. And I just looked at them and I said, watch me. And I went right in there and they're like, and I never came back out, you know, until during a commercial break, you know, they introduced me to him. He was a lovely, lovely
He was
man.
So nice. Yeah.
So nice. I mean, he's like, oh, it's an, it's, it, I'm right. really, he didn't say honor,
but he said it was a good one.
Yeah.
In my head, that's what it was. It's an honor to meet you, Terry. I'm like, really? No, yeah, it's an honor for me to meet you.
Yeah.
You're the person that's well known, not me. You know, and I'm like, well, can I get you anything? Would you like some coffee or tea or something?
Oh, the coffee there was so bad. Remember the Pasquini coffee? I brought the worst coffee to all the rock stars. Yeah.
Well, he's English, so he wanted tea.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, I'll get you some tea. So I came back out. Of course, all the interns want to talk. And I said, don't talk to me now. I have to get tea for Dave Gahan.
Oh, my Lord.
They're like, really? I'm like, yes. So I go to the kitchen. And this is like, you know. I can't make this stuff up.
All right, so we have a cliffhanger here. We're going to take a quick break.
Did Dave Gahan get his tea?
Did he get his tea or not?
This is KX93.5. I have in studio Randy Lavick and Terry D. From the rock of the 80s, and we're telling war stories. And like I said, we've got a cliffhanger.
Where's Jimmy?
This is Jimmy, you're missing it all. Come on.
And there we go.
Baby,
All righty. This is KX93.5. You're listening to the Importance of Being show, and I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do this show live every Sunday morning from 9 to 10, and today I have Randy Lavick.
Hello.
And Terry D. And we're telling war stories from the
How
Rock
we earned
of the
our
80s.
Stripes.
Yes, yes, more than that. Just
badges.
Yeah.
Badges. Medals
still
of
doing
honor.
It. Doing
well,
doing
yes.
And
but
I
wait,
did.
We had a cliffhanger.
Yes.
Oh, that's right.
And this is one of my first badges that I received.
So let me set it up. So you have the lead singer from Depeche Mode.
Yes.
You've gotten a couple of assignments. One almost got you locked out of the building.
Ooh, I didn't think I was going to ever see the upstairs again.
Right? Because then you fail in the mission.
Yes.
And you're like, I don't.
That
you know,
would have sealed the doom.
I don't want to see you again ever.
Right. No radio for you.
You're taking it out of your car, right? Okay, so you get back in the building. You get through the sea of interns.
Right.
And you get there, you meet him, he's really super
he's
nice.
Lovely. He's just, oh, yes.
Can I get you anything?
Right.
I'd like a cup of tea.
I need some hot tea.
All right.
He's British, you know?
Right.
Did we
like
have tea? Were we that classy?
Well,
that's my burning question.
And that's a very valid point, Randy. I did go to our kitchen, and I was looking in every cabinet, every drawer that was there.
Right.
And gosh darn it, there are no tea bags.
I knew it.
No tea bags.
We had terrible coffee, though. It's legendarily bad coffee.
So what do you do? Oh, my God. There's no tea. I can't. I got to get him tea. He needs his tea. So I ran out the door. Down the hallway was Turner Broadcasting.
Oh.
So I went inside there.
They were much classier.
They have to have tea,
Grown-ups work there,
Come
right?
on, Ted yeah. Turner. Don't let me down. So talking to the receptionist, I'm, oh, hello, how are you, blah, blah, blah. Great story here. I got Dave Gahan.
It's an emergency.
Do you like Depeche Mode? Oh, I love Depeche Mode, yes. You know. Okay, well, we have the lead singer in our studio. Oh, my God, no way. So, to the long story short, I need to get some tea. You guys, can I get a tea bag? Do you have it? Oh, my God, yes. I would love to get the tea bag for Dave Kahan. Can
oh
I do
God.
That? I'm like, of course you can.
Just do it now.
We will share this responsibility together. Just get me the tea. So she took me to the kitchen. We got the tea.
Oh,
she
took,
you know.
Right, right.
Yeah, heated up the water because, you know, yeah, yes, blah, blah, blah.
They've got cups.
She gave me the hot tea. She said, please give Dave my best. Tell him I love him, blah, blah, blah. You got it. You got it. Thank you. And I will shout you out. So finally got back there. Jed's looking at me like, where the hell have you been? Why has it taken so long? I'm like, I got the tea. You guys don't know what I went through for this. I went through the trenches too.
Sweating.
I almost got killed. No, I'm kidding. So because of all of that, they let me stay in the studio for the remainder
We were like, can I touch you?
I forgot to mention that. I had to go back through the intern wall of, you know.
Right. Me and Bertie.
And they're like,
rest up
they're on the
glass.
Air right now. They're on the air right now. I said, I know they're on the air. He's waiting for his tea. I'm going in. So I went in and I never came back out until the interview was done. When he had to leave, we all walked out together.
We signed our posters.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Bam.
And the interns are just looking at me like, oh, my God.
Terry
she is like
arrived.
This goddess intern.
Right.
How did she do that?
She's on a whole nother level
she
of greatness.
She got to stay in the studio.
I'm like,
and P.S., he signed my Depeche. It was Depeche Mode 101 time where they made this movie at the Rose Bowl that was like, iconic, the first new wave group to play this 100,000 seat venue, and we were at that.
We were there.
We couldn't find our car afterward. Remember, that's another story.
We lost my car.
We lost Terry's car.
But what about that big food fight that
there was a
broke
food fight.
Out?
But he signed my poster, and I went away to college later on, and my mom sold it at a garage sale.
And
it's like, it would be a museum piece now. Right. I could cry from that. Thanks, Mom. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So Terry, you stayed in the business.
I did.
Randy, you
I did.
You still
I did.
Stay around it.
I worked at a few other stations afterward as well because of Terry. I did call out research at KLOS on school breaks when I went back to college thank goodness. Mm-hmm. And we would call, we had a little machine and we all sat in a room with a bunch of people and would play snippets of KLOS songs to people that were out of the phone book, literally, right? Isn't that where they got the numbers?
No. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, we did get the phone numbers from there.
They would hand us a list of phone numbers we would call.
Right.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'm calling from Radio Research. What do you think of the next 10 songs? And it was KLOS songs.
We would narrow it down first. We would ask them,
what do you listen to?
You know, what radio stations do you listen to the most?
Okay. Yeah.
And if they narrowed into KLOS or any of our competitors at the time.
Right.
And they were male between the ages of 18 and 34.
Then
they qualified for listening to music. So we would ask them, can we, you know, call you back? We want you to listen to some music and just get your opinions, you know, and some of them
rate
were cool
it from one to five, or something like that.
And some of them weren't, you know, so the ones that were, you know, and said,
that's how they made the playlist.
Yeah.
That's how we, from our research. Yeah.
Really?
That was part of it.
So we would play the songs.
From the oldies. Yeah. Are you sick of this yet? You know, that kind of thing.
It was pretty cool. I mean, it was, you know.
And that was real. But what I would do because
I
was.
We need that now. Because when I listen to commercial radio, I mean, there's like sometimes the same songs playing just out of sync on two stations.
Well, here's the beauty of it. And, you know, you learn as you go along. That's, you know, just how life is.
Yeah, right.
But. You know, radio is not meant to be listened to for more than 15 minutes at a time because that's how the ratings are. You know, all radio stations are on an average quarter hour.
Okay, well, so if you're listening now, it's your turn is over.
I know. Well, we're thankful.
Stay on with us.
We're thankful that you're listening and continue to listen. I mean, it's you know, it's really a gamble.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all, you know, in radio, we're at the mercy of the listeners.
Right.
You know, and you try to give them as compelling content as possible, and hopefully they're enjoying our wacky
and
stories.
And they have to wait a little while to get out of their car when they get to their destination.
It's a radio car town, absolutely. LA is the number four radio market in the country.
Yeah.
Still, yeah.
No, number two.
Number two now.
LA's
it was
two.
Four then.
New York's one. Yeah. LA's two.
So you're now, you know, working in the business. You're grown up.
Yeah.
What keeps it interesting for you? What keeps you passionate about it? Because you've seen it all, and
I know.
You know, you started at the almost at the top.
You honestly have to just keep that
to
spark
start in
alive.
A major market is very unusual.
It is,
yeah.
Most people have to work their way around in small town. I just want to say after that, then I worked at Pirate Radio with Scott Shannon, with the hair metal, and I cried. But it was the big time.
Cool.
They came from New York. They were very classy.
Yeah.
The best guy I met there was Andrew Ridgely from Wham. Rolled in one day randomly. That was
awesome.
And the Traveling Wilburys called on the phone, and I got paid to answer the phones there, and I worked in programming there. And the Wilburys were calling from someone's house in the valley, and they were all on the speakerphone. And I said, "Is Mr. Harrison there with you?" Because I was a Beatle girl forever. And I heard laughing. They said, "Yes, he's here. Could you tell him I love him so much? Aww. Okay, please hold." You know? And I cried, you know, "Oh my God." You know? So then I worked also with Terry at KRLA for a very brilliant and insane woman there.
Oh my God.
We saw this woman have mental breakdowns on the
she
daily.
Was,
But that's real. That's real talk.
Yeah, that's.
And then I worked.
And let me say, she's no longer in radio.
Yeah. I was asking Terry.
Okay.
So there.
I think she lost her mind, literally.
Yeah. No, she did.
And
she
it was KLSX.
She was crazy.
Too.
Which can be good content.
Well, not when you're at you're
not
in the
when
line
you're
of fire
for her.
Because
we helped her do
she
events.
She didn't mind telling you what to do.
Right.
But God forbid something would happen that she saw wrong, she would just
she was a hothead
you in front of it didn't
she
matter
was a
who
hothead.
Right.
But that's
right.
part of the she business was, too, are those big personalities, and you got to learn how to roll and you know. But what I would do at KLOS is I would roll down the hall to the KABC side and go talk to the people that my parents listened to, Ira Fistel, David Viscott. I could go on and on and ask them a million questions. And I was
KLOS
very curious.
Yeah, and it got.
And then, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, they just, they're it's gone now, right?
It's
KABC.
Gone now.
Now
they moved to Culver City, but now,
it was
ABC's
that big bunker.
There.
Remember
KLOS
that?
Is with us in Burbank.
Oh, all right.
But I go ask the old guys a million questions. So I've always been this way. Like, tell me about the 60s, the 50s. And it was the old, you know, big personalities of those days. Then when I worked with Terry at KRLA, you know, I'd ask all about Art LeBeau was and whatnot, and all these guys.
They had some legendary.
And then KLSX was down
guys.
The hall, and I'd ask all those guys questions.
So Huggy
I was always
Boy
really curious. Yeah, Huggy Boy
was there. Jimmy O'Neill.
Jimmy O'Neill wanted to take me
God
out for lobster
him.
Dinner.
Jimmy, though, was awesome. He had the best stories about, because he was the host of Shindig, which was a great, you know.
And my mom danced on the Art LeBeau dance party. We're from LA, and my mom was a waitress at Gazzari's and all this. So we have those roots. Yeah, it's brilliant.
All right. Well, guess what? Heavens, look at the time.
Whoa!
You have been listening to The Importance of Being Show, and my guests this morning were Randy Lovitch.
What a pleasure. This has been so
Terry
fun.
D.
So fun.
Yeah. And we have been reminiscing about the rock of the 80s and their times at K-Rock, their lives in radio. And coming up next is more of me. I'm going to be sitting in for the Steve Reeves Woo-hoo! Coast Highway Shuffle.
Go, and Ernest. Go, Ernest.
And you ladies are welcome to stick
we
around.
We will be here dancing. Are you kidding?
Yeah, we'll hang.
All
yeah.
right. Well, this is KX93.5. We'll be back in just a bit. Wait. Come on.
Live radio. Gotta love it.
Gotta love it.
The mistakes.
Do you want to sing at this point? Oh, okay.
Ooh, the mistakes.
To ooh, good.
Ooh-wee.
I should stumble.